Yes, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from Siberia, in exile from the Tsar. My very special guest is Mark O'Neill. Welcome back. And he's broadcasting from another Soviet Socialist Republic known as Chicago.
Привет, товарищ. That means right, hello, comrade.
All right. I only know das bedanya. All right. And vodka. You know, those are the only two Russian words I know. Das bedanya and vodka.
Das bedanya. Don't get any on ya.
All right. Yeah. For Rizzle. Speaking about Chicago's gun bans and stuff like that before, and we're going to make a joke about Illinois, that they call it that way because everybody's like so deprived of ability to just protect themselves that in Illinois they're all just a little annoyed. And it occurs to me that the United States culture, and I say the word culture operative, has really taken a turn for the worse. And you said that is it the Reverend Jesse Jackson? He said that he wants the TSA on the streets armed.
Yeah, he had brought that up a couple weeks back.
Now, see, this is the insanity of it. Ordinary law-abiding citizens cannot be trusted to protect themselves, but convicted pedophile sex offenders with no training of any kind with firearms or law enforcement who grope people for a living with zero justification, that's cool. Has somebody lost the disconnect here?
Well, I guess we could point fingers at a few people, but there you go.
Well, that's what the TSA do, as far as I know.
Yeah.
They point fingers in very, very awkward places.
You least expect it.
Yeah. And apparently the Federales call them the TSA. Right, well, anyway, why don't you talk about your book?
All right, sure. Okay, The Ancients and the Angels is a series. I'm hoping to make it a trilogy and might need to go into four books because I'm just getting so much material. And it parallels what is happening to us today with the world under a globalist hostage, basically. A quick synopsis of it without giving too much of a plot away is on an ancient Earth right before the dawn of humanity, and that's modern man, Homo sapiens sapiens. We're talking about 200,000 years prior to us. The story features a young girl who is chosen by the creator to thwart an imminent invasion of demons from the Inferno. Now, you probably ask yourself, a girl, what kind of girl is this? Well, my book's a bit unorthodox of the fact that there's no human beings in this book at all. The dominant life form, in my imagining of this, are elves. Everybody loves elves. So, I use that as the special ego for which your reader can enter. The fellow mortals of fellow mortals and elves of prominent power and position in society are in cahoots with these demons, but they believe them to be what are called elder beings from beyond the stars. They call them elders. This cabal is analogous to the globalists of today. The demons grant them power, knowledge, technology, and in order to contact these beings, these cabals make use of red magic or blood magic by sacrificing children. Now, this part of the book may be rough, and parental guidance is suggested. I feel if you have a teenager that I don't glorify the violence, though, like in certain areas of the Hunger Games, let's say. With the aid of a rogue angel, the infernal forces steal what I call thelemic arcs. They're in the form of giant pyramids from paradise, and they aim to use these vehicles as a means to kidnap all mortal life on Earth into the hell's body and soul. The infernal forces, with the help of the corrupt cabals, come to Earth as saviors intended to protect them from an engineered and completely phony alien attack. From here, the story deals with Earth's evacuation plans, how society reacts to this impending false rapture, and eventually, when the demons infest Earth, it's up to the elves to go and take it back. The setting is primarily in ancient Atlantis, but the entire ancient world is featured. It's not what you think when I say the word ancient. The tech level depicted is about 50 years beyond ours, and it manifests itself in a different way. They have an internet, but it works differently. They have a clean, reusable, universal power source. So they don't have differences between coal and oil and steam. The guy I have up next hour on the show probably love that stuff. And it's the name of the power source is called Mana. That routine technology would be magical for us today. You had another guest earlier a couple weeks ago that was talking about how the technologies that we enjoy today would be considered magical 300 years ago. And let me give you an example. What we're doing right now, okay, 30 years ago, this was science fiction. This was Blade Runner. We're talking on video phones. But 300 years ago, prior to that, that's crystal ball. That's mirror, mirror on the wall. You know, we'd burn at the stake if they caught us doing this.
Well, you know, I've got this this idea. It'd be quite funny actually if we did go back and we had Skype and iPhones and all of this kind of stuff and just got burned at the stake because of it.
Well, that may be in the works. Who knows?
Look, it's only an Apple product, man.
Yeah, right. The spirit of Steve won't let you have that. So yeah. Themes though in my book. These are things that are relevant to today, are compromised governments. The malevolent forces of the Inferno embed themselves within the governments of the world to gain a foothold of power. Also, I focus on disinformation. I have a parallel to the Black Bloc called the Black Hood in this, and they work as stooges for the Infernals, used to foment dissent. They're scapegoats to a botched plot. And as I had mentioned before, we have the occult conspiracy and child sacrifice by globalist elites. They employ what you might know as Solomonic magic for selfish and harmful purposes. There's nothing wrong with Kabbalah. It's a tool just like anything else, like an axe or a fire hose. You can use it for good or ill. You can use it to construct or be destructive. And here it's being featured as a destructive force by the globalist elites. I also focus on the topic of the low-frequency ruse. These demonic beings are energy beings of low frequency, and they use their beauty and glamour to beguile the people of the Earth into slavery. On Jeff Dougherty,
like Lady Gaga.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm about to get to that. On Jeff Dougherty's show, he's on Blog Talk Radio, NC Kabbalah and Friends. Great, great show. He was talking about YA predictive programming and energy, lower forms of energy in terms of conditioning the young, the population into accepting these traditionally malevolent characters like vampires, witches, demons, whatever have you, as your friend. Now, whether or not the authors are exactly to blame is not exactly known, because J.K. Rowling and Suzanne Collins and Stephanie Meyer, they're being paid by large publishing corporations, and they're privy to their editors. Those editors might be chopping up and messing their books to fit that publishing company's corporate agenda. So I think it's kind of unfair to, poke jabs at the author, his or herself. But that's one topic that I go into. Even though the demons depicted in my book are glamorous and they're quite beautiful, they are also depicted as bad guys, and they are being used to beguile and ruse the public. Like you said, just like the Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, and that new Kesha video, Dying Young, you know. I also have a theosophical view of religion. The Society of Ancient Earth is pantheistic, but it's also a one religion. So they all worship a pantheon of 12 gods. It just and some, depending on where they live, pay more fealty to one god than another. Martial law is also examined. As the world prepares for evacuation, Atlantis is placed under martial law, and the constitutional rights of its citizens are suspended. I also examine spiritual warfare. The people of the world, although they are eventually aided by angelic forces, have to use their free will and determination to help themselves. There is a Crowley struggle for the moral right to live and thrive in the high-frequency prime reality. And I think one of the reasons why, and this again is more into David Icke territory here, but one of my theories about why low-frequency entities such as demons vie for higher-frequency life forms such as mortals is because, maybe because we're mortal, our energies are more condensed, they're more concentrated, and therefore they pulse at a higher frequency, and these lower frequency eternal or immortal beings are jealous of that. Not even so much jealous of it, they want to just siphon that power, that energy. I also focus on social panic is fueled by the mainstream media. And one of the chapters I've written is in the form of a website forum. And it shows the division, the divide and conquer paradigm of all the people fighting. And then government agents, actually infernals, chime in and troll the website to make everybody think everything's okay. All clear. Eventually, too, in the story, the heroine is of the story is blamed for sabotage with a false flag. She's played as a patsy. And like I said, these elements are things that parallel issues that we are experiencing right here and right now.
Yeah. What was it? That quote from V for Vendetta. Authors use lies to tell the truth, while politicians use the lies to cover it up.
Right.
Well, is there something that really inspired you to get this going? Like, who are your prime influences? Did you have like some kind of an aha moment at some point, and you got into writing, or had you been a writer for a while?
No, I this is my first book I've published. I had some short stories put on the internet here and there at certain writing forums prior to that. I just was dabbling in it. I thought it was kind of fun. My classical training is in graphic design from Indiana University, and then painting is a master's degree from the University of Cincinnati. I don't really have any formal training in creative writing. I wasn't an English major or anything like that. Works that influenced me mainly, and you might see parallels to this in my books, are Frank Herbert in the Dune series. There was a lot of conspiracy and drama and backstabbing. Same with the George R. R. Martin series, Song of Ice and Fire. So if you like those, you'll enjoy this book. Robert Cormier, he's a young adult writer that was very critical of how the government and secret societies treat children. Philip K. Dick. My book, in many ways, is very paranoid. And one of the works that initially woke me up to just how society operates in general is the book of Scanner Darkly, and it's perfect. It describes the war on drugs to a T. But I like to think of myself as like a Robert Anton Wilson for kids. The Illuminatus trilogy. I don't have the wacky humor that he does, but it still touches on a lot of those topics. Basically, my intent is to make young people aware of the dangers that our mainstream establishment are enacting, right under our noses this very day through the YA writing genre.
Mm. All right, fair enough. Well, there's got to be some way to wake the youth up. And somebody told me the other day that the youth are so brainwashed and they'll never wake up. And my mentality is actually, well, it's not like you can't wake anybody up or you can wake everybody up. It's really individual kind of thing. But I think if you've lived 30 years under this system, and you haven't woken up yet, it's going to be much, much harder. Whereas I think if you're young, you're actually a lot more impressionable. So it's probably easier to wake up younger people if only you can distract them from the Facebook and Xbox and PlayStation and beer and weed for long enough. We'll be right back.